Hello, everybody. This is Labor Day weekend, and I am going to be interviewing my guest. We should be splashing around in the water and barbecuing and having fun, but instead we are addressing the most incredible proclamation of its time. The name of the show is CDC, Hubris or Insanity, because we don't know whether to cower or to just laugh uncontrollably. The whole thing is so absurd. However, my guest is Lauren Arakin, and I am your host, Sally O.L. Cordy, and we're going to discuss this issue today. She's done a lot of research on this, and I thank her so much, because all I do get to do is ask her questions, and she gets to answer them instead of having to do all that research myself. So thank you, Lauren. But she has also created a group called Love Maryland, and it's also on Facebook. You'll see the live link to that group on Facebook or page. I'm not sure which. She'll clarify directly under the screen. So as you're looking at the screen, look directly below it, and you'll see a live link. And it's a nonpartisan political action committee in Maryland whose primary concern is bodily autonomy. Well, if this is Lauren's primary concern, wait till you hear what she's got to tell you now. Oh, boy. Can't wait to pick her up. Hi, Lauren.
Hi there. Hi. How are you?
Well, you know, we're supposed to be having fun today. This is Labor Day weekend. What in the whole wide world are we doing discussing the CDC?
I know. I'm on my vacation, actually, right now also.
Well, tell people what in the world we're doing discussing the CDC, hubris or insanity.
Yeah, so they've published something in the Federal Register, which is just a place for our federal government to sort of communicate with us. Basically, they are updating or changing their rules, and it doesn't really require any legislation. They already have the power to do this thanks to two executive orders, one in 1993 that was signed and one in 2011 that clarified and expanded their ability to do this. And I don't think anybody was even watching when these two executive orders were signed into existence. And so under those, they are now sort of rewriting their own policy within their the Health and Human Services Department. So
I'm beginning basically to wonder a more basic question, Lauren, which is,
yeah,
are executive orders legal? I mean, is that a fantasy of the president, you know? Where does this,
should it be, right? Yeah, I mean,
grab?
I think they are legal, but I don't know why.
I don't know that they are, if you want the truth. All of these are just outrageous power grabs, none of them emanating from the people. You know, they are calling the shots at our good graces. So it's not about how having power over people. It's about empowering people, you know? So they've got this all wrong.
I agree.
And I think we just have to get down to the bottom line, which is, if you have exceeded the power we have afforded you, then it doesn't matter whatever the heck it is you're doing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these things could be called into question via the court of law. I mean, if, you know, we wanted to get together and do, you know, sue the federal government for overreach, certainly that's something that we could do. You know, it would be years in the making, I'm sure, for it to reach the Supreme Court eventually and probably get ruled on there. If we wanted to try and get rid of executive orders or get rid of a few specific ones, I'm not sure what the exact legal process would be, but I know that they've overstepped the bounds of the Constitution, which obviously they have. I yet have not met someone who has the financial means to accomplish something like that.
But I'm just saying, can we just ignore them? Can we laugh in their face and just say, this is ludicrous?
Well, I'm
because if they
don't
have, if they have enforcement, you know, they've created the Department of Homeland Security. They've created all kinds of ways of enforcing things But if enforcement steps down, if they say, no, we're not playing this game because it's insane and you people are mad, you know, that's the entire issue. It's not really even the law. It's enforcement. Will enforcement
right.
wake up?
Yeah, and this particular rulemaking change, the enforcement arm of it is going to be the Coast Guard and the board, I guess the Customs Control Office. Those would be the two, and of course they even state in it that they can use any and all you know, police, that local authorities necessary to enforce the their policy on civilians. So
okay, now
they thought
the
of that part.
We took a great big
right.
leap over the actual policy that they're putting forth. So take your time, and then we'll get back to banter, you know. But please, and
yeah,
I, by the way,
yeah,
I talked
exactly.
to Jermaine. I talked to Jermaine Muhammad from the Atlanta Rally Justice or Else group, and I said, isn't it interesting that October 14th is the deadline, even though you're calling for people to respond to them by the 13th? And isn't October 14th through the 16th your action outside of the CDC in Atlanta? The timing of this couldn't be more pertinent,
oh,
you know?
Interesting, yeah.
Right?
Mm,
and I said to him, call in. He's meeting with Tony Muhammad today. I said, well, just call us during the program if you have any questions. But, okay, now please explain.
Yeah. So basically this is for them to be able to control the spread of infectious disease, and they're trying to make it easier for them to do that. And so they've created this thing called a public health risk assessment. And if an area it falls under this, let's say they found a case of measles in Baltimore City, they've decided that they're going to run a public health risk assessment for Baltimore City or for the entire state of Maryland, they can then essentially quarantine people with no process of appeal for an indeterminate amount of time under the guise of protecting public health from this particular disease. So they could just pull you up the street and say, did you go to the Giant on Route 40 on Tuesday the 14th? And if you said that you were there that day, they could say, I'm sorry, you may have been exposed to measles. We need to detain you. They detain you. What they add to this is if you decide to accept a vaccination for the measles, then they no longer need to detain you. So if you take the shot, then they can let you go, even though we all know scientifically that is ludicrous. You can't protect someone from the measles who was exposed many, many days prior with a present-day shot. That is totally bizarre, but that's the way they've written it. So you know, they can keep you for the incubation period. They keep
well,
you for however long
the
they
Department
really want.
Of Transportation comes in. You know, they
mm-hmm,
have
mm-hmm.
checkpoints on the way to bridges. They have checkpoints on the way to tunnels.
Right.
And the Department of Transportation is key in making this work. They
yeah.
get people. I've
yeah.
seen something that absolutely stood my hair on end. This was in India, I believe. And there's a... It might have been in Pakistan. I'm not sure, but I believe it was India. They had a family on a – looked like they were out for a Sunday drive with their family in the back and with the kids in the back. And someone approaches the car in military fatigues with a gun over his shoulder and gives two – I understand that was a double dose oral polio to the children in the back seat. So this is, they're on their way to a bridge. They meet with a military person with a gun over his shoulder at a checkpoint, which turns out to be the entrance to the bridge, and their children are administered this polio vaccine
yes.
in the backseat of
that
the car.
That is exactly what it will look like. Yes.
Right.
That is literally what it will look like. Yep, exactly like that. Yep. They can detain you even if they – so they have very broad detaining in this thing, but some of it focuses on if they think that you might travel across state lines or travel outside the country or if you might come in contact with someone who might travel outside state lines or might leave the country, then they can detain you indefinitely to prevent the spread of disease. It is so broad.
Well, they're spreading the disease as fast as they can by spraying for Zika. So they're spreading
right.
disease while they do that. And they're
right.
killing our animals. I mean, the bee die-off under the name of spraying for Zika in South Carolina is a national disgrace. So all I can say is they're spreading disease, then you might have disease. Well, of course, thanks so much for spraying us, you know?
I know.
This is so obvious and so sick. You know, nothing doses to children through the age of one of vaccines. Just nothing
right.
is sicker than that.
Yeah,
so
no research, just add them on.
The cake. They've taken the cake for sick and demented behavior. But this, of course, you know, people are saying, what, me? An adult? Oh, my God. You know, so I've always
right.
said
this is not limited to children. This is adults as well.
Well, as I say, if people don't get active to spare our children and allow them to live and allow them to think clearly and walk a straight line and, you know, walk and be healthy, then I'm going to take their side. I'm going to be all promoting this. Yay, let's detain everyone. Let's shoot them up, shoot them up, shoot them up. Because nobody cared enough to stand up for our children.
I know. I know, it's scary. It's pretty scary out there. And
well, it sounds
only,
like all of Congress is going to have to get shot because they go home to their home state, back and forth to Washington,
well,
D.C.
This is my idea for Maryland. I said, you know what we need? We need a bill for mandatory boosters for all of our legislators because – that would really, I think, show them what they're legislating when they legislate adding, you know, last year in Maryland we had the attempted HPV mandate where they tried to mandate HPV for boys and girls in the state of Maryland, which failed, you know, miserably. But this is the thing. There were legislators who supported it, and they need to really consider. One of them said on the record that she – thinks that everyone should get the flu shot because she doesn't want them to get her sick with Ebola or something like that. I'm not joking. That's what she said. But she no longer gets the flu shot because she had a really bad reaction.
Yeah,
like,
right. So she's
you're mandating
had
it for others, not you.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Go ahead.
So that was my best. I mean, I'm like, maybe we should pull up a bill, try and get a sponsor. They have a lot of, you know, a lot of school children come through the legislature every year in Maryland for tours. You know, they have access to a lot of community events. They are basically just time bombs waiting to expose our Maryland community to infectious disease. And I think they should get boosters. And I think it should be mandated. Unless
they like it. What you're saying
is
totally right on. Because my first bill in 2009, which was all vaccines are banned. Okay, and I'm still,
right.
you know, I've got two other bills since. But the one that came right after that bill, all vaccine testing will be performed on elected officials and administration appointees.
Right.
I was like, oh, you don't like this bill? Well, how do you like this one? Henceforth, all vaccine testing will be performed on elected officials and administration appointees. Because, you know,
yeah.
you roll up your arm, bend over, you know, it's time for you to get a shot.
Yeah, I know. They should be taking the same risk that they're asking the children in the community to take. And they're not. They're simply not because they don't have to. It's sad.
Well, there can be no exception to the rules. And certainly we should start with the people making the rules. Absolutely.
I think that's the perfect idea. It's something that I'm definitely looking into in Maryland. See if
right.
I can get a sponsor for that bill.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. They have to sponsor it, don't they? But, you know, perhaps what we should do is just have a proclamation, you know, the people's proclamation to vaccinate
yeah.
legislators first. and vaccinate.
And I think there's a process where you can get something put in place. You can get a bill ordered if you get a certain number of signatures. I believe in Maryland we have that. So I think if there's like 100,000 signatures or something like that, you can have a bill heard without a sponsor. You may even be able to pass a bill without the legislature even being involved if you get a certain percentage of the population or something like that. So certainly that could be another option. I'm sure that exists in many states. I think it's like a citizen's bill or something like that. I'll have to look it up and research it more. But
NDAA. As with the NDAA, where they can disappear you permanently at home or abroad,
right.
It sounds very much like that. Is it like the NDAA 1021 or whatever that clause was that said you can be disappeared permanently or you have to be disappeared? That was even better. You have to be disappeared. And made the accusation. I mean, you can't know who your
right.
accuser is, which means there doesn't need to be an accuser, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that
so
the whole national security apparatus is scary in our country. I mean, basically, if they label anything as a terrorist act, they can pretty much do whatever they want to whoever they want with very little evidence for an indefinite period of time. It's very, very, to me, the HHS rulemaking is very similar to, the Homeland Security Acts and those other really awful military and security protections that we had put in place after, 9/11. I think, they're just following the same exact dark vein.
There's an award called the Larry Silverstein Hubris Award. And perhaps we'll give that to the CDC since we're talking about 9/11. I mean, certainly
absolutely.
He's at large. So maybe we'll give the CDC the Larry Silverstein Award for hubris.
Sounds like a fair award to give them.
But
the funny thing about it is that they don't need us. They can just do this. So, they can simply say, we've made a new rule, and here it is. We're open for public comment. Okay, thank you for public comment. And now the rule has been accepted. it's easy for them.
I called my council person because I was sprayed the other night for Zika, and the last time for West Nile and Zika, the last time they sprayed for West Nile, all the birds on my block, big, beautiful, what looked to have been healthy birds on their backs dead. So I said to the councilwoman, when was the hearing on this? I must have missed the hearing. She said there was no hearing. I said, oh.
Right.
And I said, well, when is the hearing coming up? She said, there'll be no hearing. I was like, what?
Right.
And if you want to talk to us, you can't even talk to us. I can't even talk to my council person, an elected official, local. And she said, I have to go to a community board meeting where I have to talk to 50 unelected officials who are sworn in. They're sworn in people, 50 of them, the only way I can talk to an elected official is if I go to a community board meeting and talk to 50 sworn in. And I said, are they elected? And she said, no, they're appointed. I said, oh, so I have to talk to 50 appointees to get to talk to the person who's elected in my community. I said, this is the second time you've given me this runaround. And she's like, you're the only person who's complained about this. Everyone else called to thank me. I said, are you even serious? I said, get real, lady. Nobody is calling you to thank them for spraying them with poison. Nobody.
No.
We all
no.
live here. We all saw the birds on their backs. She said, well,
oh
you have
God,
a toxicology
that's...
report? She said, you have a toxicology report. I said, interesting you should say that. Well, thank you for asking. How knowledgeable you seem to be. No, I didn't put it together until someone else alerted me to, I was asking around, why are all the birds dead? And someone said, well, that happened after they sprayed for West Nile. And I said, so obviously you know about toxicology reports. The birds are in your community because you're my local council person. Why didn't you test for it?
Yeah. Sure, she
you
had
know,
no answer
I
for that.
I hate being the last to know, and then once you do know, you can't even speak up. There's no formal process where your elected officials will hear you directly. So I'm absolutely infuriated by the lack of to our elected officials.
Yeah. I mean, here in Maryland, it's the same thing for the spraying. They've sprayed us for decades over here. I mean, since DuPont has existed, we have been sprayed, I think. And there's nothing that you can really do about it. I mean, they don't tell you when they're going to do it. They don't tell you. I mean, they tell you what they use, but if you look up what they use, which I did, half, I think 40% of the ingredients are protected trade secrets. So you don't know what they are. And So I've given it to some people in the industry, and I've said, you know, what is this? And they're even people who kill bugs for a living wouldn't be using this stuff. This weird, like, low volume aerosol spray gets on everything in the vicinity, doesn't go away quickly. It's just gross. It's just gross stuff. And, of course, it's really, really harmful for small fauna, like, you know, frogs, newts, things like that. Certainly insects, all insects that are sprayed will be killed. And they claim to do it, you know, once the bees are sleeping. Well, I don't know. I see bees sometimes at 5 p.m. I mean, if it's still there in the morning on the leaves, aren't they going to still be exposed to it? But, you know, no one wants to get bit by an insect. I know. And what they were saying about South Carolina was that when it's hot, bees create something called a beard, where they come out of the hive and they sort of clump on the outside in like a ball to stay cool because it's too hot inside the hive. And that is what the bees were doing that night. And that is why so many of them were killed when it was sprayed versus, you know, less of them dying because they were actually all outside their hives cooling off from the heat. I'm thinking, could they not have done even a little bit of research into bees before they sprayed? This is not rocket science.
Well, there are massive animal die-offs everywhere, and I've always thought, like, when animals, a certain species of fish die all at once, or I saw a picture in India of cattle all dead, but the people walking around. I just saw a huge antelope die off. So, I mean, there are ways that they can attack these animals through waves, like harp waves. You know, so I've always wondered, is it the waves that are killing them? Because why not all the fish? Why just a specific species of fish? Or why are men standing but cattle drop dead? Because they're larger animals. You'd think that if anything were to die, it would be the people. So it wouldn't be something
right.
Sprayed. It would be a frequency. So, I don't know. These are...
Yeah, I mean, tissue can be damaged with frequencies for sure.
Well, Department of Defense was involved in this gassing of our subways. And I had been complaining to the mayor, to the health committee. Nobody responded until after. Even an alternative radio program kept hanging up on me every time I said I wanted to talk about the gases in the subways, which I found out about from England. And it was so ironic because I then sent the guy back. I said, turns out they're going to be gassing the tubes at the same time. I said, so he knew about what they were doing here, and I knew about what they were doing there, but we didn't know what was going on in our own backyard. So,
right, I actually did hear about that in New York.
Well, they posted what the adverse reactions were after it was sprayed. It turns out it was not a local initiative. It was a Department of Defense initiative, and they listed the adverse reactions, which were far worse than I even realized. And I had sent them everything I had found out, but I didn't know as much as obviously they did. So I wrote to the Department of Defense secretary at the time, was Chuck Hagel, and I said, they're supposed to do this two more times. Please stop this. You know, my kids take the subways. Stop this. And perfluorocarbons remain in the atmosphere for thousands of years. And you don't get, people don't drop dead at it, but they do become sterile. So that would be an outcome you don't want, right?
My gosh. I know.
And so what I got back from the Department of Defense is, if you want to register for the draft and have a criminal record, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, say what? Say what?
Oh, my God.
Sending me back a form letter. I spilled my guts in this letter to you, and you're giving me some irrelevant response, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so frustrating. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, the country is so big and so powerful. I mean, here, you know, abroad and, you know, and at home, it's a very big giant that we're standing up against. And it's backed by a lot of money. It's not just our own money. I mean, it's not just our own corporate interests. I mean, it's the corporate interests of other countries around that rely on us. So it's a scary,
well, are we
it's
all
a scary
supposed to just roll
tonight.
Over and accept one atrocity after the next, you know?
Sure.
We're not into the orchestrated atrocities where they, Day of Rage, orchestrated in 37 different cities. Everybody get out and be furious. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, even Occupy was a prescription funded by Soros, funded that, and he funds a lot of these Day of Rage kind of things. We have bona fide, legitimate reasons to be enraged, like our children are dying from vaccination kinds of reasons. We don't need an orchestrated, funded Day of Rage. There are so many darn good reasons where it's not pitting the people against the police. I want to befriend the police. I hope one day the police will arrest every pediatrician in America. I love the police.
Yeah.
I'm all for them, and I want them to arrest these bastards.
Yeah, I know. I know. I always appreciate, I mean, I've lived in communities where the police have been, I think, you know, just members of the community. There are certainly certain areas in Maryland where that's not the case, but we do have some really good officers, at least where I grew up, we did.
Well, delineate more of whatever it is in their stupid proclamation, if you would, the fine points that I may have, you know, blown over here.
Yeah, I mean, basically, thanks to the two executive orders, the CDC through Homeland, through Health and Human Services is now able to make up their own rules, and the rule they've decided to make is we will forcibly detain anyone who we think may have come in contact with any communicable disease we deem necessary, including chickenpox at this time, might I add, and they can detain and quarantine you, you know, for as long as they see fit, you know, if you do not accept the vaccination. So in my book, that's basically forced vaccination. I mean, you either can't go home to your children to feed them and care for them, or you can get a shot. So that's like twisting the entire society's arm into getting, you know, whatever vaccination, you know, the paramilitary personnel they have working that day are telling you that you need to get. So it's pretty disturbing, and they do have a comment period. It is open. I hope people will comment. I don't know if it will help.
I commented on their last call for action, for a response to Rebecca Fish at the HHS.gov. And they
Great.
Were putting forth the adult vaccination schedule, and there was a comment period.
Yes.
So I remember writing saying, well, you know, I tell you what was in the vaccines, but you already know. And I tell you that they create every disease in internal medicine, but you already know. I said, but maybe you don't realize that not you, just you, the person reading this letter, but everybody you work with, is culpable under the Nuremberg Code. And that's it. So long, Sally. And then I find the Nuremberg Code right on their website. So there it is, right on
yeah.
the Health and Human Services website is the Nuremberg Code. So they do realize that, too.
Yeah, I think at the very top they certainly know what they're doing. I know that there are still people towards the bottom that think that they're saving the world and that they're really helping people, and those are even more dangerous because they're so emboldened by their own idea of their own sort of heroism, and it's gross, and they refuse to. They refuse to wake up. At least the people at the top, you know, at least the Merck executives are like, you people are ants. We know it and we're fine with it, you know. But the other people are like, we're saving the world. Look at us. We're amazing. Those idiots are trying to ruin our beautiful plan to save the world. And you're just going, God, I almost side with the Merck people over you people.
Well, one of my favorite stories of a couple of weeks ago was after they sprayed for Zika in Florida, they went door to door getting urine samples from the people, okay, to see if they had Zika. All I can say is, first of all of these tests are bupkis. They can go, I understand 80% of people had Zika in their urine, or the test results for 80%. The whole thing is so mad, and these babies with the shrunken heads are being thrown into society as this can happen to your child. People have had abortions thinking that being sprayed could have created that when it's the DTaP vaccine, according to so many sources. And other people say it's the actual spray that is causing it. The pesticides are causing it. And I keep telling people, we're the pest. And if anybody watches
yeah.
Lethal Injection, the story of vaccination, it delineates very clearly that the people are pests and are to be treated
right.
and exterminated like pests. And I just want to say, at the beginning of that movie, it's like where the movie might have ended, because it's kind of the culmination of all of this. They track 50,000 horses or 10,000 horses, and they shoot them with vaccines and darts as they run, this group of Mustangs or wild horses, right? And over time, they reduce this 10,000 to 50 horses. So if that really, basically, I was wondering, why in the world are we watching horses if this is about vaccination? Well, it was pretty darn clear. They brought you the end of the film at the beginning of the film and then delineated the legality of them thinking of us and treating us as pests.
Ugh, yeah. That's often how I feel when I'm dealing with the federal government. Like I'm just this gnat in their ear, and they can't wait to smush me if they could only just reach me.
Well,
it's a dark
anyway,
world.
Tell us more about what you've done with Love, Maryland, because it you know, it sounds inspired.
Yeah, so I got this idea that I would, you know, I've been lobbying in Annapolis for a few years now for parental rights, bodily autonomy, those kind of things. And I got this idea, instead of lobbying all of these legislators that can't stand me, why don't I try to get rid of some of them and put some legislators in there that already like me? That would make my job easier. So my husband and I started this PAC, and this year will actually be our first full, you know, this legislative session will be our first full fundraising session, and I'm going to jump on it as soon as I get home from my my vacation. I'm out of the country for about 6 weeks, and when I'm back, I will I'll be full throttle raising money so that we can prepare ourselves for the next statewide elections, and that we can fund some candidates that support parental rights and support bodily autonomy and care about the environment, but not in an oppressive manner where they want to control everything. People, it's hard because people in Maryland seem like they care about the environment, but they don't get into the details of a lot of the proposed legislation. They don't realize that there's all corporate interest. Almost every bill that goes through has some sort of corporate backing behind it, some sort of PAC that's supporting it that doesn't actually care about anybody but itself and, you know, its stakeholders who are never just the citizens. So that was the idea behind Love Maryland, was that the citizens would now have a voice. How can we make Maryland better for families to be raised in? You know, how can we make it better for people to retire in? You know, people leave Maryland when they retire because there are other places that are better to go with their retirement money that, you know, and that's terrible for our economy here. It's terrible for jobs here. You know, we've been struggling for decades with low jobs and people leaving and corporations leaving. And so my goal was sort of to pick all the things that weren't working with Maryland and start chipping away at them while funding candidates that understood all the needs of Maryland families that are trying to stay, trying so desperately hard to stay in Maryland. I almost ran. I really did. I sent my husband's resume to a bunch of different places, and I was like, we're leaving. I can't deal with Maryland anymore.
But, well, are you the mayor? Can you run for mayor? Because I'm looking for someone to challenge me to see which city will go vaccine free first. And it's not irrelevant in terms of vaccines because we used to have an independent board of health and board of education. But under Bloomberg,
right.
Control freak that he is, and the one who proposed the mandated flu shots for the children,
right.
The Department of Health and Education are now under him. Or he's not here anymore, but that's how he rearranged it and then got himself a third term on top of it. But so basically to run for mayor means I would have a whole lot more say than other people possibly in other cities. But if your city is such that the health department and Department of Education falls under the mayor's authority, I would recommend you run for mayor, and we will have a competition. If you win, I will send you a dozen New York cheesecakes from Junior's in Brooklyn. And if I win, you will send me just endless crabs, baby.
I was like, I'll send you a bushel of our radioactive crabs in case you hadn't had enough carcinogens.
No.
I'll send you some more. They taste delicious. But they are not safe for consumption.
Oh, brother.
I know, it's so bad.
Well,
there's a lot of – I'll send you Old Bay, or I'll send you a bunch of Under Armour stuff. There you go.
Well, you can send me the University of Maryland basketball team. I'll just take the basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's just something that you hold sacred. Certainly we hold our New York cheesecake very sacred here. But anyway, I'm just saying, if you find that being, you know, this is the first time I'm running for office where I actually really, really want to win. Because right now we have SB 277 in the city, not the state, the city. But no law is ever passed. They just deny all religious exemptions, and when you appeal, They have an Inquisition panel who are not made up of religious people, by the way, no rabbis, priests, imams, or ministers, just a group of highly paid people who are put there to say no. So you appeal, you get rejected, then you appeal, and you get rejected again. So you may as well have passed SB 277, but it's much more dangerous because there's nothing to push back against. They knock them off
right.
one at a time. So it's
that
all
is exactly
undercover, and no one's getting
also.
Exemption.
Yep.
Say it again?
Yep.
What?
That's how Mississippi yep. And West Virginia, that's why they don't have any exemptions besides medical. Because they
oh,
don't
mean,
need.
But they passed the law. They passed laws there. Actually,
they don't. They didn't.
Their decree in West Virginia.
Yeah, their health departments get their own. They have control of that process versus the legislature. So they just
obviously.
Get to decide, basically. Yeah.
Well, I want everyone
yeah.
to look into NACHO, NACCHO,
yes.
which is right out of
yep.
the CDC. They proclaim themselves to be a
oh,
nonprofit
yeah.
organization. And you want to talk about hubris. Oh, the arrogance of these people. Remarkable. When I went
yeah.
to address the Department of Health and Human Services to call for a national moratorium on vaccination now, and the ways in which they tried to prevent me from doing that were completely original. I've never had such remarkable, almost effective ways of stopping me, but they didn't stop me, which is remarkable when you realize what they tried to do. But nonetheless,
right.
I did call for it, and 30 states have now picked this up. Tara Bisner Norman, who's in your state, has got the banner.
Yes.
And if you want to stand with this banner, I would be so thrilled. Once she takes a picture and sends it to me, she can send it to you or march publicly to you to present it to you, which is really my initial.
Yeah.
But we're circulating it in each of the states. And we're going to get together through October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And then, no, I want to go down to Atlanta. I really do because I want to be the first arrested and forcibly vaccinated by the CDC.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go down there and let them know that
you
can't have
some contact
with people.
I'll look at all the adults and say, let me be a lesson to you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah, I think it's interesting, though, because if they do get this whole adult immunization thing underway, if they succeed at this, do they really realize what they're doing? I mean, now they have a vocal group of people who will be able to tell them when they've had a reaction versus children who they just say, oh, your baby died at 3 months old the day after its shots. That's just when babies die. That's just normal
yeah.
death for babies. That's just a normal thing that happens. It's a coincidence. I mean, I hear mothers in my breastfeeding. I had a baby recently in my breastfeeding groups, and they're always complaining. They're saying, oh, my God, my baby was so sick after her shots. It was so bad. Without fail, another mother will chime up. That's just a coincidence. Don't worry about it. My doctor said it was normal. No, your baby 3 days in a row screaming and never laying down is not
normal. It's the new normal. I want to give it to doctors. They have hurt so many children that it is the new typical scenario for any child to be sick, screaming with rashes and seizures and ear infections and breathing problems. It's the new normal.
It is the new normal.
Children, I have stopped looking at children for years now. I have not looked at children. But there was one child who, when I was chasing her mother with a stroller down the block, as I'm known to do, she walked around with her. I said, ma'am, please stop. I can't catch up to you. And so she whipped around, and she had a stroller. But I had to look at the child because her eyes were sparkling. And I said, oh, my goodness, your child is sparkling with intelligence. And she said, she's never been vaccinated. And I said, did you know